the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of our loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Pentecost Sunday. Yes. Yay! This is the day when we celebrate the beginning of the church. Now, for those of you who haven't been around churches for long, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. We heard the start of the story right at the beginning of the service. But there's so much more that happened on that day. So please, if you can, read the rest of the story this week. Especially if you've never read it before. It's just amazing. If you haven't actually got a Bible, you can Google Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was originally a Jewish festival. People would travel from all over the ancient world to Jerusalem to be part of the celebrations. And this is what was happening at the time of our first reading. But the disciples weren't out there joining in. They were in a house, praying, trying to make sense of everything that had happened to them. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. Then he was killed. Then he came back from the dead and popped in and out of their lives for a while. And then finally, they saw him return to his heavenly kingdom, and they knew they would never see him again on this earth. But that morning, something happened. It's a dramatic story, tongues of flame on their heads, rushing winds, and they all started to speak in different languages. Of course, some of the very religious pilgrims outside thought there was a party going on and the alcohol was flowing. But they hadn't been drinking. They had been filled with the Spirit. Now, if you do read the rest of the story, you will find out that 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus that day from all over the known world, and the church was born. Jesus had told the disciples to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but I'm pretty sure at that point they had absolutely no idea what to expect. They were in a house somewhere in Jerusalem, probably pretty unsure of themselves, a bit frightened, feeling a lack of control about what was going to happen, if anything, and what the future might hold. I should imagine they felt a bit weak, actually. And this sense of fear, this insecurity, seems to be like a magnet for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's when we feel most out of our depth that the Holy Spirit shows up. And it seems like if we can let go of our need to impress and control and succeed and win, the Holy Spirit has room to breathe. I'm going to tell you a story. It is actually, I was racking my brains for something that I've experienced of the Holy Spirit that I could share with you. But this is the closest thing that I've ever experienced to the first Pentecost. It's nowhere near as dramatic, but it made a difference to the course of my life. Now, it was quite a few years ago, before I'd even started thinking about doing kind of ministry in any official capacity. And I was going to the church at Lenton Abbey, St. Barnabas. You'll see it on Derby Road, if you go up Derby Road, if you can these days. One Sunday, a Chinese lady wandered in. And then the next Sunday, she came back with a friend. And then there were a whole group of them. They were professors from China. And they were at the university for a few months. They had never encountered church before or heard of Jesus, but they all wanted to know more. They asked questions. They started reading the Bible. Eventually, I realized they would only be with us for 6 more weeks. At that point, I panicked slightly, you know. So a friend from church, Jez, and I, we started meeting with them each week to try and answer their questions the best we could. Now, we often came a bit unstuck. They had very tricky questions. And do you know what? One of the trickiest questions they asked me was about how much time I spent each day reading the Bible. Not as much as them. They were spending around 5 to 6 hours a day reading the Bible. They were that desperate. They were underlining bits and writing notes and asking all the questions. And a couple of weeks into this process, they started asking about the Holy Spirit. How do we get the Holy Spirit? They asked. They were really engaged with trying to understand the Christian faith, but they were also desperate to actually experience the presence of God in their own lives and hearts, just like the first disciples of Jesus. Now, that kind of freaked me out a bit, because the problem with the Holy Spirit is that you don't get to manipulate or control what happens. The Holy Spirit does that. But they were relentless. Yes, we understand all about Jesus, but when do we get the Holy Spirit? Eventually, I realized I couldn't duck it any longer. I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought, well, you kind of put your hands on them and pray. That's what they did in the early church. And actually, that's what happened last night at the Minster. The bishop laid his hands on our lovely people and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. So one warm day in early summer, we were all together in a house in Beeston. I showed them a short video about the Holy Spirit because it was easy to understand and it had Chinese subtitles. Any questions? I asked. There was only one. Can we have the Holy Spirit now? I was deeply uncomfortable. What if nothing happened? What if something happened? Both scenarios were scary, but I knew we had to go for it. It was all up to the Holy Spirit now. So we went outside in the garden. We like gardens, they explained. We don't have gardens in China. I was really hoping the neighbours weren't in and didn't see any of this happening, you know. So they gathered round, and my friend and I placed our hands on each of them, and prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We took our time. We just waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And then one by one, as we prayed, they lit up from the inside. It's hard to describe, but their demeanor changed. They were filled with joy. It was very quiet and very peaceful, but very, very tangible. There was no rushing wind or tongues of fire, and yet fire was lit inside each one of them, and God breathed the Holy Spirit into them. It was a moment of holiness, a time when we knew for certain God was present and meeting with us. After we finished praying, they could not stop talking and laughing. They were full of excitement. There was no doubt in their minds that God had given them what they'd been asking for. They experienced real joy and peace. And all I could think was, well, thank goodness God showed up. I stayed behind for about half an hour to help clear up. And when I left, I could see them all at the end of the road, still really exciting, still really excited, still talking at the tops of their voices. The party had not ended. Now, I never saw them again. They went back to China. But they went back with Bibles and as much Chinese Christian literature as I could lay my hands on, and they left with the Holy Spirit. If you ever go to St. Barnabas Church at Lenton Abbey, there are some Chinese bells on the left-hand side of the church, near the front. They're a gift from those professors. When you ring them, pray for us, they asked. And even now, when I go into that church, I ring those little bells and I pray for them and all who live in countries where it's hard to be a Christian. I was absolutely terrified during those weeks with them. I felt completely inadequate when it came to teaching them about Jesus. And then when they read in the Bible about the Holy Spirit and asked for that, I honestly had no idea what I was doing. I felt completely out of control, vulnerable, and weak. I was as clueless as those early disciples. And just as on that Pentecost day long ago, the Holy Spirit came. We don't get to control God, and the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus is. That can be scary. It can put us in positions where we feel insecure, but the Holy Spirit always comes with love and joy and peace. Always looking for ways into our lives to transform us, to give us life. The Spirit is what makes us family, children of God. So I want to finish by just taking a few moments of quiet and inviting the Holy Spirit to encounter us here today as we are together in one place. I'm going to use a really ancient prayer that's been prayed through the centuries, a very simple one. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, here with us now. Thank you for breathing your love and life within us and between us. Empower us to live our lives full of your presence. Amen.
Amen.